Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Saturday. He's armed with a week's worth of talking points and got up early for your listening pleasure. So kick back and enjoy all the immensity, the potency, and the intensity that is the Robin Lundberg Show. Here's the man so charismatic, we named the show after him, Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. We're heading into the final week of the NFL season. It's always a tough week to peg, I think, because, you know, you have teams playing for the playoffs, then you have teams playing for nothing, and then you have teams playing for some degree in between. And obviously, you know, various levels of motivation. Football is a sport where, just by its very nature and its very act, I mean, the team that is you know, more committed, more has more energy in general, you know, it's a hard thing to replicate when you're going at that physical nature. It's not like, I mean, that happens in every sport where you catch a team on an off night and they're not their best. But in basketball, you still have a great player who might just have a hot shooting night or whatever. You just might be more talented. In the NFL, Sunday is a cliche in good times, and then when you get to a Sunday like this where all bets are off, it can lead to a totally chaotic situation overall. With that said, I'll try to make some picks for this week, though I think I totally ruined my season in the last couple weeks of picking games. I was over 500 for the vast majority of the season, and now I think I'm probably hopelessly below. Anthony, where do I stand right now?
You're four games under right now. At 41, 45, and 1.
And it's the last 2 weeks that put me in this hole. I forget what there was one. There was another game that really ticked me off recently. But it's
well, been, 2 weeks ago, because you were off last week,
yeah.
So we missed you. 2 weeks ago, you were 2-3-1. That was, of course, the week that the Jets shocked the world. You had the Rams 17.5, so can't blame you for that. Your Chiefs, once again, they did not come through for you. You did not lose, but that was the push that you got.
Oh, it was a push.
It was
a
push.
And that would have,
yes.
Would have put me in a better situation. All right, well, look, it's not insurmountable. I'd have to have a hell of a week, but I still got the playoffs. I'll pick the playoffs as well, so I still have a chance to march back towards 500, though I'll tell you, I really struggled making these picks for this week, looking at the schedule and the way it is. So let's do it.
He's crunched the numbers, used careful analysis, and is now ready to lay down the dough. Here's Robin Lundberg with his gridiron picks of the week.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins. +3 over the Bills. I've talked about both these teams a lot on the show today, and I think the Dolphins, you know, just simply by that nature of they win, they're in. That is a hell of a lot of motivation. Buffalo, you know, there is seeding, there is home field advantage. You could say that it is a thing to play for. They have the same record as Pittsburgh, but Cleveland likely to beat Pittsburgh this week. Buffalo, you know, as much as there's only that one bye, there's not the second bye. So I just don't see Buffalo. If I were them, I would be more focused on being healthy and whole going into the playoffs than I would be in winning this game. So I don't know if you see Josh Allen for the whole thing. If you see Josh Allen, you know, even at the beginning, we will see. I think McDermott's been pretty coy in the lead up to the game. But I think staying healthy is the most important thing for Buffalo. So in that case, when you got one team playing for the playoffs and another team playing to stay healthy, give me the Dolphins +3 over the Bills. You're going to see a theme. I'm going to be picking the teams that need to win to get in a lot of ways. I'll go with the Cowboys -1.5 over the Giants. The Cowboys just have looked like the better team in recent weeks. Andy Dalton at quarterback for Dallas has started to find a little bit of a rhythm. In the last several weeks, he threw 3 touchdowns in that win over the Eagles, 377 yards passing. The week before, he threw 2 touchdowns in a win against San Francisco. Dallas is on a 3-game winning streak. In that 3-game winning streak, Dalton has 7 touchdowns and just 1 interception. So the Cowboys are playing some of the best football at the right time. The Giants, after that win against Seattle, they look like they might be trending in the right direction, but that's looking more and more like an aberration because they've gone completely in the tank since that game, losing 3 games in a row and all not particularly close. So I think I like Dallas in that game to keep their playoff hopes alive. Next, I'll take the Bears +4.5 over the Packers. I know Matt LaFleur had said this is like a playoff game for Green Bay as well. Obviously, he wants to lock up the best positioning going into the postseason as possible. But like I said, there's just it's hard to replicate the need to win. And the Bears, there's one other scenario where the Bears can get in. But I think if the Bears win, they are in. And it's a division game anyway. Those tend to you know, sometimes be close, even if there's a disparity between the two teams. Green Bay, as much as LaFleur could sell it as a playoff, they're still a game ahead. They have a game in hand against you know, all the other teams they're competing with. They're 12-3. New Orleans is 11-4. Seattle is 11-4. And I just I'm a believer in wanting to maintain health and being whole going into the playoffs. More so than anything else, particularly in a year like this. So I'm gonna take the Bears. To me, they'll be the more desperate team, +4.5 over the Packers. I'll go with the Cardinals, -3 over the Rams. Both these teams in similar positions for this game, but the Rams are without Jared Goff. And I'm no big fan of Jared Goff, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think Jared Goff has probably been the, you know, reason that I haven't bought into the Rams fully. But nevertheless, he's still a guy that started on a team that made it to a Super Bowl. He's still, you know, been the starter for that team the entire time. And all of a sudden, you remove him and you put in John Wolford. I mean, I have no idea, to be honest, what to expect from the quarterback position from the Rams in this game. So that being the fact, and I already felt that the quarterback was the position that was holding them back. Give me Kyler Murray and company in that game. Maybe, you know, maybe they got something, you know, that we don't know about. Maybe, you know, there's a hidden secret for the Rams in this one. But until that is revealed, I will take the Cardinals in that one. Jets +3 over the Patriots. The New York Jets, no longer do they have to worry about their draft position. They must feel pretty good about where they're picking at this point in time. They've been playing much better football of late. You know, take away that blowout loss to the Seahawks. They played the Raiders tough. Obviously, they should have won that game against the Raiders. They beat the Rams. They beat the Browns. They got the Patriots, who the last time they saw the Patriots, they lost by a field goal. Patriots are just pathetic offensively right now. They can't throw the ball at all. Cam Newton's probably still their best player on the offensive side, and he hasn't put the ball in the air effectively. He's got no weapons around him. He's been replaced by Jared Stidham a couple times. I just think that, you know, if the Jets were going to get a win over the Patriots, a revenge win over the Patriots, this feels like the time to do it. So I'll take the Jets plus 3 over the New England Patriots. And finally, I'll go with the Washington football team minus 3.5 over the Eagles. Washington, another team playing for everything. The Eagles, the one team in the NFC East who's been eliminated from playoff contention. And the Washington defense has been very effective against the pass thus far this year. So, Jalen Hurts, I think he's come in and done a really nice job for the Eagles. But when, you know, again, you're playing for nothing, you're still relatively young in your career, and you're facing off against a defense that has been effective against opposing passers, letting up under 200 yards a game, I think, there's going to be a growing experience, and Washington playing for more. Though Philly could be one of those teams that, you know, is playing for pride and growth and going in the right direction a little bit. Still, I'll take Washington with their playoffs on the line, minus 3.5 over the Eagles. So that's Dolphins plus 3 over the Bills, Cowboys minus 1.5 over the Giants, Bears plus 4.5 over the Packers, Cardinals minus 3 over the Rams, Jets plus 3 over the Patriots, and Washington minus 3.5 over the Eagles. And those are my picks for NFL Week 17. Let's go to Gennaro in South Bend. Gennaro, you're on the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Gennaro?
Nothing much. I just want to say Happy New Year's to you and your family. I want to talk a little bit about the college football. I know that's a past topic, but Notre Dame especially, they're a great school, but they don't come up in the big games. Brian Kelly can say what he wants. That's his position. That's his team. He's obviously biased. But Notre Dame is so on defense, so unaggressive, and lacking perimeter speed to really make them look bad. They might become like the Chicago Cubs, take 106 years. And I feel that Ohio State should be really congratulated, especially Justin Fields. He outplayed Lawrence very much, and Ohio State played like real men, real men. They came out there, they was competitive and aggressive. Notre Dame can take something from them and put in their program. It's called real aggressive athleticism.
Well, talent. I mean, look, what's the biggest difference between these teams? It's not really, you know, any motivational thing. It's not, you know, commitment. It's not any of that. It's talent. And you're at a college sports, they're a whole different ballgame than the pros. There's no salary caps. There's none of that. No, you're just recruiting. And if somebody decides to go to your school, they go to your school. Nothing nobody can do to stop it. And Alabama and Clemson and those teams get the best players every year. Why do you think when one of their quarterbacks go down, the next guy that comes in is always, you know, a candidate to be the top pick in the draft or a Heisman Trophy candidate or what have you? That's what separates them. So what's the problem for Notre Dame? Their talent is not as good.
I think they have talent. And, you know, when they do the 4-5s and the 5-4, they're running the same thing. But when it comes to executing and playing the game, to me, Notre Dame is so nostalgic, and everybody throws them up. When it comes down to real life experience and playing a game, they're just not there now.
Well, they're not devoid. They're not devoid of talent, but their talent is not to the level of these teams they're playing, and it's not. You know, like that's the reason they're getting. They don't look like they belong on the field with these teams they're playing. It's not like they're making rookie mistakes. It looks like they're not the same caliber of team.
I mean, I guess so, but they have to grow their program, obviously, to compete with the Ohio States, the Alabama, and the Clemsons. And no one should punish them because they're getting bored. Win, beat them, you know.
Well, I'm not saying punish them.
I'm talking about the people, the fans are always talking about, well, they're bored, this and that. They shouldn't dummy down their program. Get more teams in there, and maybe they'll have a shot, and maybe they won't be bored. I always say, so goes the victor, so goes the spoil. Beat them, then you won't have this to deal with.
I appreciate the call. Look, the playing fields are not always the same either. There's different criteria for schools. There's different locations. There's all sorts of stuff that goes into these things. But yeah, the reason that Notre Dame is losing is not because of a lack of effort or trying or experience. It's they just aren't as talented. I mean, look at the players that these teams produce to the NFL draft on a year in and year out basis. I mean, there's no surprise that they're always the same teams that are playing for the national championship and playing in the college football playoff. And you know, you get a Notre Dame gets a pro here or there, or a couple here or there, but these other schools are pro factories. The talent is just on a different level. Period. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. Continue to take a look around week 17 of the NFL and what needs to happen for certain teams to get into the playoffs, what needs to be determined, what needs to be settled for this final week of the NFL season. That is coming up next. I can't believe it's actually the final week of the NFL season, but the NBA is back in action. We're here. It is January. I believe it's 2020. I have been informed. The information has been relayed to me that it is indeed now 2021. 2020. Did I just say 2020? 2021.
You did.
It feels like 2020 is going to last forever. It's actually gone. It's hard to get rid of it. It's going to stick in your mind for a while, but it is in fact gone. We are on to 2021. So what is significant about the first 2021 of the NFL season? We'll explore that next. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Follow Robin Lundberg on Twitter. His Twitter handle is at Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, getting you set for Week 17 in the NFL. To do so, I'm joined by Jared Dubin, CBSSports.com NFL writer. And Jared, before we get to the games, I want to ask you a question I threw out to the audience earlier. Who would get your vote for Coach of the Year this season? There's a lot of worthy candidates. Ultimately, I land on Brian Flores.
Yeah, Brian Flores is a great candidate. I think that was who I picked when we did our midseason picks at CBS. My preseason pick was Sean McDermott from the Bills, and he's pretty worthy too. There's a lot of worthy candidates. I mean, you could go with Matt LaFleur from Green Bay. They've been great. The Saints, despite missing Drew Brees again, and Michael Thomas for a while throughout the season, are still really good. There's a lot of really good candidates.
You mentioned Sean McDermott. If you pick him before the season, it's hard to argue against him now. The Bills, not going into this week against the Dolphins, but in recent weeks, if they hadn't, you know, had that Hail Mary go against them with the Cardinals, now they're in part to blame for that, but obviously, in a sense, a fluky sort of play, they'd be on a 9-game winning streak. Do you see them as the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC or NFC?
Certainly in the AFC. I'm not sure about the NFC. I think the Packers are sort of like a similar team where, you know, they have so much firepower offensively. I think that's kind of the way you need to beat the Chiefs, is you need to be able to keep up with them. They're going to score. Like, there's nothing you could do about it. So if you can't score at least, not necessarily with them, but pretty close to it, I don't think you're going to win. And those are the two teams, I think, along with Tennessee to a certain extent too, that kind of have the offense to keep up.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you completely there. I've had a couple callers say, you know, defense and all that, these old school type of teams. I'm like, you know, Kansas City's not losing a game where they're scoring 17 points, I don't think.
They're just not going to score 17 points.
Yeah. So you're going to have to put some points on the board. That's why I like the Bills in the AFC and maybe across the board, because, you know, their defense is solid, but they've been very explosive offensively, especially of late, and Josh Allen has played like an MVP candidate. Let's get to the playoff picture here. It's always weird in the final week of the season because you have teams playing for various motivations. Some teams playing for their playoff lives. Other teams playing for positioning. Some teams playing for nothing. Let's go with the NFC East because it's been such a strange season for that division where, you know, you could even see a 6-10 team win it. First of all, who do you think is actually the best team in that division, and who do you think wins that division?
I think there is no best team. They're all terrible. Anybody who's telling you that there's a good team in that division, they're just lying to you. I don't get it. And then who wins? I guess, I mean, the Eagles are sitting a bunch of guys, sounds like. So Washington should win that game, and if they win, they're in.
So it's pretty much as simple as that. I mean, they've been – I guess when you say who's the best team, is there any team from that division that you could see as a legitimate – not contender, but as a legitimate threat to upend the playoff picture if they get in?
I don't think so. I mean, in all likelihood, whoever wins the division is going to play the Bucks in the first round. And, you know, the Bucks aren't a perfect team, but they're a significantly better team than, you know, Washington, Dallas, or the Giants. So I wouldn't expect any of those teams to go beyond hosting that first game. But crazier things have happened. I mean, the last time we've had teams with losing records to go to the playoffs, I think they both won in the first round. So who knows?
Where are you with Tampa right now? Because they came out the gates hot and they look like Super Bowl contenders. And then they got handled in a bunch of high-profile games. And they seemed like they were going in the wrong direction. But all of a sudden, you know, they've reeled off a couple in a row. They absolutely decimated the Lions. Now, that's not hardly an accomplishment. But nevertheless, they put 47 points on the board. Where are you? What's the temperature check on Tampa Bay heading into the postseason?
I think they're kind of been the same team all year where they just come out and dominate all of the teams that they're pretty clearly better than. And it's sort of a struggle against the teams that are, you know, as good or better. And I think it'll probably be similar in the playoffs. I mean, they're going to have to get their offense going against a good defense, which hasn't really happened for most of the season. And they're bound to face a good defense at some point when they go through the playoffs. So, you know, we haven't really seen them come out and put together, you know, the type of performance where they got 47 against the Lions. We haven't seen them do that against a good defense yet, but if they can, then obviously they can go pretty far because their defense is really good too.
Robin Lundberg talking to Jared Dubin, CBSSports.com, NFL writer here on CBS Sports Radio. Switching to the AFC for a second, you got the playoff picture. It's pretty packed over there. Miami and Baltimore, Cleveland, Indianapolis, all with something to play. Is there one of those teams that you think is less live that you just would, you know, if you could leave one of those teams out, which of those teams would you leave out?
I mean, I guess you might have to say Miami just because the offense doesn't have, you know, quite as much juice as the other ones, especially when they have Tua under center as opposed to Fitzpatrick, at least in terms of the way they play. But, you know, I love watching that defense. The defense is unbelievable. It looks like the Patriots defense from last year. They're just sticking Xavier Howard and Byron Jones on the receivers on the outside and getting so creative with everything else they do. It's a lot of fun to watch. But I don't know. I would rather see a lot of points, and Dolphins games don't tend to have that.
Tua Tagovailoa, where are you at with him? I mean, he hasn't turned the ball over much, but, you know, they had to replace him in the last game because he also isn't putting the ball down the field. He's a rookie, so that clearly, you know, there's plenty of room for growth. But what's your, you know, gut read assessment on both him now and his future?
It's really tough to say. I mean, I think they have to take a long look at, you know, do they think Tua is really the guy, or do they want to use this Texans draft pick that's going to be in the top five and might be number three on one of the quarterbacks coming out in the draft? I mean, Tua has been fine, and most of the time that's fine for a rookie quarterback. Most rookie quarterbacks are bad, but Joe Burrow was quite good, and Justin Herbert's been quite good, and Tua hasn't really been on the level of those guys, and you got this quarterback draft class that looks unbelievable again. It's worth a look. I don't know if that necessarily means they should do it. They could also trade down, get a whole lot more picks, and surround Tua with the kind of infrastructure where it doesn't matter if he's an extremely low-risk quarterback, if he's like Alex Smith of the Southeast. You know, all of the different ways they could go are worth considering, but he's certainly not a guy yet where you would say, you know, you can't consider taking somebody else. He hasn't shown the kind of ceiling to say he's definitely going to be the starter for 10 years or so.
Yeah, I've always said about Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's almost his own class of quarterback, where if your quarterback is worse than Fitzpatrick, you're in bad shape. If your quarterback's better than Fitzpatrick, you're in good shape. And if your quarterback is Fitzpatrick, he's, you know, eventually going to be replaced. You know, and Fitzpatrick, you know, has kind of clearly looked like the guy that gives the Dolphins more juice offensively, which is not a great indicator for Tua. But you always don't want to rush to the judgment either in a rookie season. It's just I guess the learning curve has been accelerated so much by how often we see guys have success, early nowadays or get thrown into the fire early nowadays.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I think you know you're right on Fitzpatrick. He's certainly shown a higher ceiling, but he's also got such a low floor just because he's so willing to put the ball in danger and turn it over. And that's the one thing that Tua has really had going for him is he just won't put the ball at risk of being turned over for the most part. And that's something when your defense is as good as Miami's is, that's something comforting to have out there where you just know you're going to move the ball. You're not going to give it to the other team and they're never going to have short fields against your defense. You can, you can win some games that way. The issue is if you actually get down and then, you don't have somebody who's pushing the ball downfield, it's very tough to come back.
One other team I want to ask you about quickly, it's not about this weekend so much, but we're talking about the contenders and the Bills and the Packers come up. Where are you with Seattle right now? Like, this was a team that was putting up points, but, the defense was looking bad. Now I look at their recent games. Now the schedule plays a lot into this. They're playing the Giants, the Jets, the Eagles, Washington. But since, let's say, that Rams game that they lost 23-16, they've allowed 16, 21, 17, 12, 3, 15, and 9 points. Do you think the Seahawks are a legitimate threat to win that conference?
I mean, they've got, one of the small handful of best quarterbacks in the NFL. So they're definitely a legitimate threat. Their defense, the competition has been easier, but it's definitely been playing better, too. They're just getting the quarterback more often than they were early in the season. Obviously, having Carlos Dunlap now helps that a lot. Jamal Adams has been playing well since he came back from his injury. But where I'm at with them is I'm mostly just angry at Pete Carroll and Brian Schottenheimer. Like, it's clear they never actually wanted to let Russ cook, and they took the first opportunity they could to stop letting him cook, and it just makes me really mad.
You just want to see Russell Wilson fully unleashed, basically what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear that that's the way their offense is at its best, and they took the first opportunity to not do it anymore because there was a 3 or 4 game period where their defense was playing so horribly that Wilson had to do basically everything. And he threw a few picks during that time frame, and they decided, actually, this isn't our offense anymore, and we're just going to go back to the offense we've been running for the last 8 or 9 years. And it's just, you've seen the offense just hasn't been as good during that time. And I don't know that their defense is good enough to make up for that. Certainly it's been better, but it's not like they've got, the Legion of Boom defense back there.
No, yeah, it's an interesting point because, and I think, even last year, was it last year in the playoffs? I remember that being something that bothered me. He didn't really start throwing the ball until the second half of the game, and he was trying to dig them out of a hole. I mean, you would think at this point they would know what they have with that guy.
You would think, but it doesn't seem it. I mean, I remember, I don't know, it wasn't last year, a couple years ago when they played the Cowboys in the playoffs, and the Cowboys at the time had, a pass defense that was, fine, and the run defense was one of the best in the league, and they just kept running the ball right into the line over and over again on first and second down and getting nothing out of it, and they lost the game to a Cowboys team that honestly wasn't that good, and that went on to get crushed by the Rams the next week, and it's just frustrating. Like, they play football like it's the 90s, and they've got a quarterback that can play football like it's the 2020s, and they just kind of don't trust them to do it.
Yeah, I was referencing the Green Bay loss from last year where I think they had fallen behind at halftime, but nevertheless, they're going to get another crack at it. We'll see what Seattle does with Russell Wilson come postseason time. Jared, appreciate your time this Saturday morning. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thanks for having me.
Miss any of the show? Catch up with the Robin Lundberg podcast, available all week on the weekend page at cbssportsradio.com.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I think I mentioned during the NFL pick segment, talking about the Packers-Bears game, Bears playing for a playoff spot. The Packers are still playing for the overall number one seed, which would mean a bye. I just referenced that they had a game lead over the other teams behind them. And I think the way that they could be caught is if it's a three-way tie with Seattle, Green Bay, and New Orleans. So they would have to lose to the Bears, and the Seahawks would have to win their game, and the Saints would have to win their game as well for that to happen. I said before the break, Justin Fields, he said something last night. You know, his performance was amazing, but afterwards they asked him about what was wrong with him or how he was diagnosed, and he said they didn't tell him what was wrong and that his whole one side of his torso hurt, including part of his hip, and that they, you know, he just took a couple shots and went back in the game. And it's just like, wow, it's a college sport. I mean, I'm sure he would have wanted to go out there. He would have chose to go out there regardless, and certainly didn't hurt his draft stock in the way he played. But he could have gotten hurt in a game where he's not getting paid, and it's just another reminder of that in what was a brilliant performance by the Ohio State quarterback. Let's go to John in South Carolina. John, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, John?
Hey, Robin. How are you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Happy New Year. But watching the Sugar Bowl at the hospital last night, I had the game on in our waiting room. Luckily, I didn't have any patients. But was that planned to not have any announcers and just have the stadium announcer announce the game? Because all you heard throughout the game was the fans in the background, some guy yelling, "What the F?" and just all this swearing by the fans. And it's just like, if that was planned, it was a failure as far as I'm concerned.
Wait, what game are you referencing? You said there was no broadcast?
No, they had on, I don't know if it was the station I was listening to, but they didn't have any broadcasters, the color guy or anything else like that. So all they had was you just heard the stadium announcer in over the speaker or whatever, announcing the game. But like I said, all they had on was the stadium mics, and you just heard all these fans in the stands just cussing and swearing.
And that's for you're talking about the Ohio State game?
Yeah, the Ohio State Clemson game.
Yeah, there must have been something with the feed or whatever you were listening to, because on the television I was watching, there was a broadcast. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what you're referencing. Maybe somebody else can help us out and fill me in exactly what that feed may have been or what you're referencing. But yes, if that was deliberate, that would have been a mistake. But that clearly wasn't the case across the country when it comes to the actual telecast. So I'm not quite sure. Not sure what to say. Anthony, you know what that? Do you have any idea what he's talking about?
No, because I was watching the Sugar Bowl last night on ESPN, and they had announcers and everything.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not going. I think I'm taking crazy pills. I didn't know what was quite going on there for a second, but maybe it was some sort of
I don't know. I heard people speaking, so.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going crazy.
Time to get to the rest of the topics I have in another one.
It's time for another edition of Another One on the Robin Lundberg Show. The rumors, reports, and ridiculous from the week that was. Here's Robin Lundberg.
All right, what is up first?
All right, man, we got to talk some NBA. We haven't talked any NBA today on the Robin Lundberg Show. Can't have that. So Draymond Green returned to the lineup last night for the Warriors. They lost to Portland, so now they're 2-3 on the season. It was reported this week that Golden State could put Green on the trade market if they do not fare well upon his return from injury. So should Golden State consider moving Green if they face the danger of a second straight losing season?
I don't see why not. This is a bad team. The Warriors are a bad team. There's no other way to put it. I think they're last in the NBA in net rating right now. 28th in offense, 28th in defense, something along those lines. Steph Curry has not played well enough to elevate them. Steph Curry is an all-time great player, but sometimes people have discussed him as having the same level of impact as he got compared to LeBron and KD when he was on his team. I don't think he's right there. He's not there now. He was never on LeBron's level, but he's not there now. And you look at the rest of that roster. They're real thin. They don't have consistent scoring outside of him. They've got a young big in Wiseman who's been impressive. And, you know, if they're not going to trade Curry, who wants to be there or has said before in the past he wants to retire a Warrior, we'll see if, you know, anything ever changes that, then you're basically waiting until you get Klay Thompson back. And you know, we've seen how important he is to this team, obviously. And in that case, if in the meantime you can get some assets back for Draymond Green, I don't think that's the worst idea. Now, Draymond Green is, you know, a legend for that franchise, and it was a key to them winning a championship and having, you know, the kind of championship that they did, or the kind of run that they did. So you want to treat him with respect, and you just don't trade him away for nothing. But yeah, I think testing the market out there wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. What's next?
Another one.
Becky Hammon made history on Wednesday, becoming the first woman to serve as NBA head coach after Greg Popovich was ejected. Is Becky Hammon in line to be Popovich's successor?
Well, look, I mean, he sort of positioned it that way, right? He said, you're taking over the game when he went out. So that would make her, you know, the second in command for the San Antonio Spurs right now. Is she ultimately next up for that job when Popovich retires? We'll see how the organization handles it, but he certainly, from a perception standpoint, at least laid the groundwork for that. She did experience on a proven, you know, with a proven franchise under one of the most proven coaches in league history. You know, I think clearly that foundation is being laid, and she's one step away from being the first woman head coach in NBA history. So I think, you know, he said she's earned that head coaching shot. And she got to be the head coach in a game. She's now getting that real-time experience. And you know, from a positioning standpoint, it looks like Greg Popovich is you know, laying the foundation for her to be his successor. What's next?
Another one.
J.J. Watt has been vocal about his frustration with the Texans situation. Watt has one season remaining on his contract. Watt said this week, quote, "There's a whole lot of unknowns in that situation. We'll see what happens. I don't have any guarantees left in my contract, so something's got to happen one way or another. I'm not sure. There's too many unknowns," end quote. Is this Watt's final season in Houston?
I mean, the way he made those comments at the end of that their last game, when he basically criticized a bunch of unnamed teammates for not being committed, I think so. I think they're not heading in the right direction for where he's at in his career. He's no longer the kind of player who's going to impact where they're at as a team. So it seems like it's the right time. The time has presented itself for him to try and find himself in a better situation for the twilight years of his career. So if I had to predict, I think we'll see J.J. Watt on a different team next season. What's next?
Another one.
The Colts need to beat the Jaguars and get some help in order to make the playoffs. Phillip Rivers is set to become a free agent after the season. He told The Athletic on Thursday that he always thought the 2020 season would need to be a success for Indy to bring him back next year. He said, "This week, I still feel that way. I don't want to speak in absolutes because there is still dust to be settled whenever the season ends, and I'll talk about it with my family, and the Colts have their side, but I still feel the same way. I hope there is a year or two here. I think I'm really going to want to play again." So will Rivers be back in Indy next season?
Do they have, you know, it's one of those things where you have a better option. The Colts, Phillip Rivers, I would say, you know, have to say what they did this year was a success, where their record was, as well as he played, given where he's at in his career. He's clearly not the answer for them going forward, just because of age and because, you know, like, look, when you're saying he's a success, you're talking about relative to where he's at right now, not, you know, where he is in the hierarchy of the rest of the NFL. I just don't know what the other answer is. You know, like, if there was an easy, can they get Matt Stafford or somebody like that? Maybe. Are they the team that tries to get Sam Darnold? I bring up Dak Prescott in all these conversations. But as far as you know, where they're at the moment, unless they can get creative and bring somebody in, they don't have a better option on their roster than Phillip Rivers. So you have to, you know, give him at least solid odds to be their starting quarterback next season. What's next?
Another one.
How about some baseball? Busy week for the San Diego Padres. Sunday night, they added Blake Snell. Monday night, it was Yu Darvish. The Padres now the favorites in the NL West for 2021.
You know, look, they've made these moves to get aggressive in the hunt, and they have the pitching staff now. You know, they it's so weird to see a guy pitch in a World Series game and then it'd be the central thing. You know, he gets pulled from the World Series game, and that's the talking point in Blake Snell, and then traded away. But you certainly have to like the way that the Padres are positioned, and they have a deep rotation. So, yeah, I mean, I think at this point, I would list them as the favorites. Well, not in the, I mean, the Dodgers are still there. So, as a playoff team, let's put it that way, the Padres look positioned as a playoff team heading into next season with the pitching staff additions and the other moves they've made, like Machado. What's next?
Another one.
And finally, very simple. What are you most looking forward to from the world of pop culture in 2021? Is it a postponed movie blockbuster, maybe a new music album, TV show?
Yeah, I want a new Jay-Z album. You know, I'm a Hov stan.
Are you really?
Aficionado.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just finding out. Breaking news here on the Robin Lundberg Show. So that's what I would be wanting, a new Jay-Z album. And then the return of the Marvel Universe as well. It's been long enough now at this point. So I'll go to some of my old favorites. By the way, a couple of people had weighed in saying that ESPN had four or five different broadcasts. One of them was the Skycam with no commentary, and that the previous caller may have been watching one of those broadcasts, or that Skycam broadcast with no commentary on, and not realizing that he wasn't watching the main broadcast, and that's why he didn't hear any announcers. You'll hear more from me next week as I'm back here on the Robin Lundberg Show, 6 to 10 Eastern, here on CBS Sports Radio. Everybody have a good weekend and a happy New Year.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.